Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world. And now your hosts, Yog and Manish.
Leverage personalized videos for growth. So that's what we are going to be discussing in today's episode. This is me, Yagneshwaran Ganesh.
And this is me, Manish Nepal.
And today, what is really exciting is we have somebody who has joined our show from Australia. And it's 5 a.m. there as we're recording. And we are excited that on a Saturday morning as we record, Matt has joined us. So Matt Barnett is the CEO of a company called Bonjero. And we are pretty much excited to have you, Matt, and we let you introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure. Manish, thanks for having me this morning. My name's Matt, the Papa Bear at Bonjero, or CEO, based over here in Oz. I'm British originally, trained as a designer, but then started playing around in SaaS tech companies maybe 7 years ago, and ended up running Bonjero from here. We're a team in six different countries. And as you said, we have a product that does personalized videos to convert leads and activate customers.
Just to give an idea of how long we've been trying to do this episode to the people who are listening, we've been trying to chase Matt for this podcast since February, if I'm remembering this correctly. And that makes you, Matt, the most sought after guest in our podcast by a large margin.
you do me the honor.
So wonderful, Matt. You know, why don't you take us through the journey of Bonjero, like how it all started, and what is Bonjero all about? And you know, you call yourself the Papa Bear, and we see the bear as the mascot of the company. So could you take us through the story, please?
Yeah, sure. So we are based in Australia. Australia is a good place to live, but if you want to build kind of a global business, you have the challenge that we tend to work on a different time zone to most people. Hence why it's 5 a.m. in the morning here and we're doing this call. So we ran a small agency out of Sydney, Australia, where we dealt with large enterprise clients and large agencies. And the problem we had was that all those customers were based generally out of London, New York, and Paris. Now, the challenge we had as a company is our inquiries and our leads would come in to our funnel when we were asleep. So coming on time zones when Australia was shut down, and therefore we couldn't hop on a call straight away. We couldn't get on straight to those leads and engage them and turn them into customers. And so we did drip emails, as everyone does. And these were fairly good at the beginning, but obviously engagement started to drop off as everyone started doing them. And so we had a real challenge converting these leads, but in person, we were pretty good at selling. So we decided to try something a little bit different. And being in Sydney, I used to take a ferry to work. So for those Sydney Harbour, there's ferries that come in and they go past the Opera House, which is pretty iconic. So every morning I would get a list of our leads from the night before. We'd do some data analysis on those leads. So, you know, I'd see from the email who the person was, what their name was, what their job title was, potentially what clients they worked with. And then when I was on this ferry going past the Opera House, I'd pull out my phone and I would do a video for each and every inquiry that we had, so every lead. So for instance, I'd see that John Archer signed up from Ogilvy in London and that John worked on the Budweiser account. And so I'd do a video saying, "Hey, John, this is Matt here from the team in Australia. I see that you signed up last night. Just wanted to say welcome on board in person. Now I see you work with Budweiser. We do too. We also work with XYZ. Obviously, I'm not in the UK. I'm in Australia because here's the Opera House. But why don't we hop on a call and have a demo? Or I'll be in London in 2 weeks' time. We'd love to come in and pitch you in the team." And so we would wrap these videos up It was quite a lengthy process, and we would send that out to John. So the first piece of communication he ever got from a company was this video of me on a boat. And the response was awesome. So we tripled our response rates overnight, and as a result, we tripled the amount of demos we were doing and tripled the amount of business. And Jeremy, the response that came in, it was kind of funny. It wasn't about my pitch that I was doing. It wasn't about what I was saying. People just found this hilarious. They were like, this video is awesome. This is great. You know, you have to come in. Half the people said they couldn't understand me because it was too windy, being on a boat. But it worked so well. And then, I guess, to cut a long story short, one of those clients, I don't even remember who now, asked us if they could use this video email system. And so we built a login on a Friday night with beers so they could use it. And they started sending these videos. And then one of their customers asked if they could use it. And so we let them on board. And then people just started jumping onto it and signing up. And then we put a pay, like an initial paywall up, and people started paying. And I guess that's where we kind of sat up and took notes. And so we decided on a weekend to kind of get onto this and build something people could use properly. It took about 12 months, and that overtook the original business. So very much something that we fell into trying to solve our own problem. And then I guess we just followed that rabbit hole and built a business out the back of it. In terms of the bear stuff, look, I'm a huge fan of brand. I think if you're starting any company, start a brand on day one. And for those maybe who aren't that familiar with branding, it's incredibly important, and it can be worth as much as the product or service that you're offering. We decided that because obviously what we're trying to do here is encourage people to, you know, be more transparent, get on videos, talk to clients, open up, that we would build quite a lighthearted brand that helped them kind of, you know, relax and kind of be in that place, even though we're a B2B company. And so we chose characterization a little bit like MailChimp did really successfully. And so we decided to go for a bear. And then I guess one thing led to another, and the bear thing kind of just grew and grew to the extent that now, you know, we every employee that joins the company gets to design their own custom bear onesie. We send bear suits to customers' kids. We have titles around bear. Like, we can't just follow that rabbit hole. And honestly, people seem to think it's fun. So we're just going to see how far that goes.
Yeah, that's lovely. In fact, I love this entire story, right? So one, the way you think about brand from day one, and second, that you spoke about going through the ferry and crossing the opera house, and that's significant. And to show that to your customers and make a custom video, that keeps it very real and very personal. But how did you even get this idea first? In sense, we generally tend to quickly respond through emails and of all the forms of content. How did video become the starting point? How did you think that video should be a medium that I should go on with?
Yeah, so I guess full disclosure, we already understood the video industry. So the agency that we were running had some technology behind it. I won't go into it in too much detail, but essentially we were doing research by video. So we would help clients research customers in, you know, globally. So maybe they would do a project where they want to understand how mothers were using nappies in India, Brazil, America, and France. And we do that via mobile video. So people would upload videos showing how they use the products. So we did understand the medium. So again, look, caveat, we weren't coming into this without that. However, we obviously weren't using it anyway in terms of sales. I think it was an obvious choice for us because we understood video, and all of our sales process was generally in person. So we'd always do demos, we'd always do meetings because they were large clients. You know, it's relationship based sales process. So it made sense to try and kickstart that relationship as quick as possible. Here's the thing: we didn't think that much about it. It kind of made sense. It seemed like it would work. We gave it a shot. It worked. You know, there was no grand plan. We just, you know, as a business, you'll find that, you know, the way that we build, and I think a lot of successful SaaS companies, you'll see have this in common, is we tend to test a lot of stuff. So we try loads of different things. We're always testing new stuff. you know, out 8 out of 10 of those tests generally fail. This this was obviously one of those tests that succeeded and kind of succeeded beyond our expectations.
Yeah, makes sense. I'm going to piggyback on something that Yag said earlier in the previous question. It's clear that you didn't choose any other path of communication like audio or text messages or chat, but deliberately went behind video. So I'm guessing that you have some very good reasons to go after video, except for the fact that you already had some kind of technological privileges for going after that. But now that you own the video platform in the form of Bonjoro being such a powerful tool, I'm sure you get a fair amount of queries from customers asking, you know, what is it in for me? What are some of the good reasons that videos are best at building stronger connections with customer as compared to other forms of communication? Can you speak to that a little bit? Why are videos better at building connections with customers than other forms of communication?
Yeah, sure. By the way, I think all forms of communication have their space. So I don't think video makes sense for everything. I think it's a mix, but at certain points, I think especially when it comes to building a relationship with a customer, the one thing video has right now that other mediums don't is that it's very hard to fake. So it's very transparent. It's about kind of pulling down the walls. If you send someone a video and say their name and say their company, you're obviously doing it. So it's hard. It's something that people can trust. The second part is that humans are social creatures. You can't fight 2 million years of evolution. If you think about communication, words, so writing, which is funny enough, the thing that we use the most, was the last piece of communication that we evolved. You know, we started off with facial expressions, then we moved to noises and tone of voice, and then we started to develop words, and then we have gestures, and then the written word came much later. So if you go back to video, what it does is it helps capture a larger spectrum of the of communication. So it allows you to show facial expression and, emotion and obviously tone of voice and everything else that comes with that. So it's a much better way to communicate because it's easier to read people. It's easier to trust them. It's easier to understand them and therefore connect with them. But in person will always be the best, by the way. You know, if you could find a way of doing this where you could spend 30 seconds and turn up and say hi to everyone in person, maybe VR will unlock this down the line. And if it is, I'm sure we'll be there. But right now, video is kind of the best way of remotely getting that communication across, showing who you are, and obviously developing trust with potential clients and customers.
Makes absolute sense. Can you give us one or a few examples of how Bonjoro has helped small companies or even your biggest clients, build strong connections or help them grow or scale their business, just to put things in perspective?
Yeah, sure. So just a detail about how it works. The system actually plugs into, if you have a customer data source, such as a CRM, Intercom or ActiveCampaign or Salesforce or a MailChimp or even something like Patreon or Shopify if you're e-commerce, or whatever else. It plugs into that, and the way these videos and the way we suggest using them is that they are used at specific points on the customer funnel, and there is a definite reason to this because you're trying to get a customer to move to the next step. So that in mind, there's kind of three areas these are used. And they're short videos, they're 30 seconds long, a minute, no more. The three areas they are generally used is, first of all, lead conversion. So you have a funnel, so you have leads coming in, so inquiries, if you're a SaaS company, signups. If you're an e-commerce company, inquiries about purchases. Those leads are coming in, you're sending a video within 1 to 4 hours, and you're welcoming them on board, but you're also asking them to take a next step, such as booking a demo or completing the next step in the platform or downloading a brochure. We see this used a lot. The second area is around activation. So for software companies and for online courses, you'll see that a lot of people will sign up to things, but they won't ever get started. And so these videos are used at this point to set, you send a video to customers who have not engaged. So maybe who signed up and haven't used the platform or haven't got past the first step. You're sending a video to say, hey, John, I saw you did XYZ, but it looks like you got stuck. Would you like some help? So you're preempting and trying to drive them back into the platform or back into the course to get them to start off again. The reason you're doing this, by the way, is to prevent churn. So, you know, we've had case studies where people, by sending these at this point, reduce churn by 30%. Obviously, if people aren't active, then they're going to churn later on. And then the kind of third and fourth areas are really around customer re-engagement. So customers who maybe are looking like they might leave your company. So for things like gyms, people who haven't turned up in a while, getting in touch and saying, hey, I just want to check in. I want to make sure that everything's good. Would you like some help? You know, do you need XYZ? And then finally, getting people to leave reviews. So reaching out to customers on yearly rollovers, or if you're on an e-commerce platform, reaching out after a purchase has been delivered and saying, look, I want to make sure everything's good. There's a link on the video to our Trustpilot store. Could you please go and leave us a review if you enjoyed what we do? So really, you know, broadly speaking, conversion for leads, activation for early customers, and then down the funnel, re-engagement and what I would call kind of advocacy reviews, referrals, that kind of space.
Love this, Matt. So I hear everything from demand generation to you know, lead activation or onboarding and customer success into the story that you're talking about. But you know, just broadly thinking about this, you know, you're talking about personalized videos. You're talking about messages based on each person's say adoption of the product or what they have done, and so on and so forth. So seems like a very hyper-personalized activity. So is it possible to do this on scale? Because, you know, you're going to have more and more customers added to your table. So it could be like you could have hundreds or thousands of customers at a time. So how do you go about doing this on a scale?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things I think to take into context with scale. First of all, generally speaking, as you scale, a lot of our teams will spread this across the team. So obviously, if they have a customer success team, they'll be using a few team members to send a few of these each day. But I think most importantly is understanding your funnel and understanding where it makes sense to inject this time. So what I mean here is that all leads, I'll talk about leads because that's I think a very easy one for anyone to understand because every business in the world has leads. Obviously, not all leads are equal. So a couple of things you can do here. One is, again, mentioning that we power off CRMs. You're only told to send a video in response to a certain action in your CRM. Now, obviously, you can build filters in so that maybe you're only sending videos to customers who are worth a certain value. So, you know, the customer comes in and they sign up to your, you know, $250 a month plan. Maybe those are the ones that you reach out to in person because they're worth more. You know, so maybe if you have 100 signups a day, you know, you pick out the 10 that are the most valuable or the most likely to convert, and those are the ones that you focus on building relationships with. But there are other levels of personalization. We actually do have tools that let you send videos to groups of people. And what my suggestion here is, again, personalization is a spectrum. On the one end, as you said, you have hyper-personalization, which I think is very important, you know, for, again, like valuable leads, valuable customers. The next step you can do, though, is the other 90 who maybe aren't as valuable, you can still send a video and say, hey, look, you know, it's Yag here. It's Tuesday morning in Bangalore. You know, it's a beautiful day. I saw you signed up, you know, in the last 24 hours. Now, if you do that, yes, you're not mentioning their name, but it's still very fresh and it's still very in the moment. And so they still get some of this feeling of, hey, look, Yag just recorded that for me today. You know, this is recent. And you still get some of that goodwill. So again, working out who to spend time on. The other thing is, you know, look at your funnel. I think with anything you test in terms of customer success or marketing or sales tactics, whenever you're testing any of this stuff, give it a go, look at the data, and then work that back to, I guess, the financial upside. So like specifically, you know, is there a return on investment? So if you spend 1 minute on each lead doing this, but you convert twice as many leads because of it, then look at that and go, well, you know, if it takes me, if I have to send 10 videos now to convert a lead, whereas before, you know, I would only convert one out of every 20. If that takes me 10 minutes and then the lead is worth $100 a month, is it worth my time to spend 10 minutes to get $100 a month, which, you know, which is $1,000 a year, whatever. Obviously, work those numbers back. You know, if 10 minutes of your time is worth $1,000 a year, then it's probably worth doing anyway. It's potentially worth building a team and process around that. But again, obviously different businesses have different funnels. So, you know, treat this as a test like you would do anything else. Work out the time you need to put in to improve a financial metric, and then decide, do you want to do this for all leads, all customers? Do you want to segment and filter and do it for some of them? And which team members do you want to do this, you know, rather than just having one team member doing it on their own?
Got it. It makes a lot of sense to, you know, divide your entire customers based on if it's high touch and low touch and customize based on that. But having said that, how much of a difference does it make in terms of, you know, improving your conversion or sign up when you send out a video message vis-a-vis, say, text message? Have you seen a difference between the two?
Yeah, so like every funnel is different. So when I talk here, I'm talking kind of like averages across like a very large customer base. But generally speaking, that figure I mentioned at the beginning, 3 times the response rate, I think generally speaking, customers see 2 to 3 times the response rate as a minimum to these. And obviously, I mean, one of the points here is that, you know, people responding and starting conversations obviously leads to sales. So what you then do with those is up to you. So really it's about engaging customers at these tactics. Things like activation is kind of easier where we've looked at specifically online. So online courses is an interesting area because it's not SaaS, but it's very much a SaaS funnel. Online course activation, we've seen, you know, customers tell us they're getting, you know, 40% more activation because those customers who are getting stuck and would, you know, or just get busy with life and don't come back in and do things, and now coming back and saying, oh, that's amazing, you sent a video. Yeah, I'm meant to do this. And they're coming back in and doing it. So you can have like huge material impacts. You know, like with the whole reviews thing, you know, we had one customer who runs a fashion store in Denmark, and they use this for 3 months. So after the fashion items were delivered, they would follow up 3 days later. And they would, you know, send a video checking in to make sure everything was okay and that the customer was happy with the fashion items, but then they would ask the person to leave them a review, and on the video there's a link to Trustpilot, and in 3 months they went from, you know, being a brand new store to being the number one in, you know, reviewed store on Trustpilot in Denmark, which then generates them all their traffic, you know, which is pretty impressive. You know, it's a pretty big country and there's a lot of stores. So again, it's, yeah, different areas of the funnel, different success metrics. But I think, you know, if you want to take something very broad, 2 to 3 times, I guess the conversations will start from using this.
That's pretty impressive what you just told about that fashion retailer in Denmark getting so much reviews and, you know, topping the charts. It's pretty amazing. Before I get into my next question, we totally forgot to ask you, Matt, what does Bonjoro mean? It has a nice ring to it. Your brand name has a nice ring to it, but it sounds like good day in French. Do you get confused with of being a French company? What does it mean?
Yeah, like, so look, again, this is back to the brand piece. My advice, if you're starting a company or you want to start a brand, is always make up a word. So obviously, make up a word with connotations to what it is you're looking to do. So Bonjoro obviously has connotations to bonjour or to buongiorno, which is Italian for hello. Obviously, these videos are being sent to, you know, welcome people, you know, and say hello. So it has that connotation to that greeting. But obviously, when you make up your own word, the beautiful thing is you can then, you know, it doesn't exist already. So you can start to build a brand around it. You can start to get much better. You know, you can start to rate for SEO on that word. And then most importantly, of course, you can find the .com domain available, which is always a part of, you know, coming up with a name these days.
Absolutely. That's pretty smart, actually. That's very smart. And like I said, it's very catchy also. The next question, it has a slight semi-personal twist to it because, you know, But I hope it will relate to a lot of video shy people like me. You just explained us the origin story of how Bonjoro came to be when you started commuting on the ferry and started taking selfie videos to send to clients or your colleagues. But a lot of people like myself, including me, are not very comfortable doing videos or selfie videos and sending it to your colleagues or even friends or families, right? It's not a natural skill that comes to everyone. And when you think about the vast majority of professionals who are programmed to communicate via emails and, you know, at the most they do Slack nowadays, they think it's cutting edge. But if you look at it, honestly, it's not much different than email. It just makes it more contextual. But there are so many other things, right? Text, audio and all that. But video is not something that comes as a confident thing for a lot of people to do. So what's your brand message to people, especially in marketing and sales, where you have to talk to customers, you don't have an option, right? What do you say to these people to change their behavior and help them shift from the traditional style of communication?
Yeah, so I think this is, I will mention just about the global situation and times right now, because I think this is a, this is one of the positive things out of it, is obviously we're having to learn to communicate to communicate with each other, with teams and customers remotely. Now, you're right. A lot of people weren't ready for video. However, if I go back 5 years ago, there are so many more people who are comfortable on video today than there were then. It is starting to happen. Obviously, you know, Skype with family has helped and, you know, paved the way. And now Instagram, TikTok have helped. Most of our customers are over the age of 30. So we're definitely not a platform for youth. We are generally used by businesses and we use by CS and salespeople who generally, you know, will do what it takes to get customers across the line. With the global situation today, a lot more people are getting onto video calls. A lot more people are having to use video to communicate with customers and team. And that's helping people get used to it. The actual bottom line here is that it's going to happen anyway. You know, getting on video with a colleague versus sitting across the office for them, you know, or sitting down having a coffee with them, it's the same thing, really. You know, I think someone mentioned this to me the other day. I think the reason that we seem to put video on a pedestal and think for some reason it's so different to meeting someone in person is because video was always, I guess, the kind of the area of film and television, and therefore, you know, we always associate video with acting and, you know, professionalism, whereas it's not that at all. It's just a medium. So I think people are going to be, you know, I think you're probably using video right now if you're listening to this. You're probably having to use it in some area of your business anyway. You'll see from that people really don't care. The other thing is, look, if it works that well, if it helps build your business funnel, you're probably going to give it a go anyway. You know, even if you feel uncomfortable, send out 10 of them, send out 20, see customers respond, and you'll realize very, very quickly that it's not something to be afraid of. That all said, understand how some people this might not be quite right for. It's no different to calls, yeah. You know, I know people who are very shy to get on the phone and make a call, even today. And so, you know, it might not be the right thing for everyone. If you're in sales or customer success, you're probably more inclined. And if you have a team, I think with something like this, you know, let the team members who put their hands up and want to use it go first. Some people are going to be naturally inclined. And if they get success and if this works and if they start to move metrics, there's a good chance even the more shy team members are going to get on board and give it a go anyway because of that success. I've obviously answered on a few different levels there, but I hope that helps.
No, that's extremely helpful. I mean, personally also, me and Yag also do a video series on LinkedIn. So it's not that we don't understand the merit of video communication, especially when it comes to marketing and growth. We do understand it's very important. It's just that, the question was about how it has some level of friction for a segment of people versus some people who are very natural at it. For example, Yag is much more natural at videos in the video setup that we do, in the video content that we create, versus me, who has to do a lot of retakes because I just can't help judging my skills, video skills, camera skills when we record that video. And I understand that video is very personable. It's a very genuine medium. Like you said, you can't fake it. But at the end of the day, it does require developing a certain level of skill to make yourself comfortable. I guess just like you said, you know, it's an acquired skill that you get to develop after doing it over and over again after a certain period of time. So that was a very helpful answer. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, look, so, I mean, it's interesting. Like, we have a video challenge internally. So my team is remote. So we're in six countries around the world. And we are, when we were remote before all of this, and it's interesting because communication is everything when you work in a remote team. Like, it's where all the challenges happen. And you think about video, even we still have this thing we haven't got to yet, which is, when you're trying to, I guess, do conflict management, you know, when you have differing opinions on product or whatever else, people get sucked into Slack, and you know, you end up with these huge Slack paragraphs, as I'm sure you know you and Yag have seen, that take, you know, the people just start writing these paragraphs where you could get on a video call on a call. And you could say that same thing in about 1 minute, you know, and get it done quickly. And yet we get stuck to this writing hole. And I think the one thing that's hard to get to, and this is, again, a learned skill, is how do you as a team be comfortable to switch on, you know, Zoom or some other video chat for 2 minutes and say, hey, you know, as if you were in the office, say, hey, Simon, look at this. What do you think? And Simon's like, yeah, that's great, but hey, I would do this, this, and this. And you go, okay, cool. And then you turn the video off. You know, we're not at that stage, and this is where I want my team to get to, where as you would do in an office where you turn around, tap someone on the shoulder, and, you know, ask them to give you a hand, get to a stage where you can do that through video, and you can do it remotely. Again, look, the thing here is that a lot of this is learned behaviors. It's not how we are used to operating. I think phones were the same when they first came out. Writing, I'm sure, went through the same learning curve. So I think we'll get there. But definitely it's a habitual change. I think younger generations are going to have this a lot easier because video is a lot more prevalent in a lot of the ways they communicate, you know, from day one anyway.
Yeah. Tell that to my 5-year-old who already uses Messenger filters, right? I mean, she's a natural at it already. So I don't think it's going to be a problem with the Snapchat generation.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. So,
exactly. Yeah. So it's just us oldies that have to worry about that.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. And it's pretty interesting, you know, given the times that we live in now, it's like absolutely compulsory for everybody to, you know, get on Zoom calls or different forms of video chats and all of that. But, you know, that also makes me think and makes me ask you this question. How has this situation changed the demand for Bonjour? Like ever since the Corona situation started. So do you see an increase in the usage, or how has it shifted the game for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is diving more into the business side of things. So we kind of run a funnel. We are doing double the science we were doing a month ago. It's actually quite hard to tell because, you know, like I think a lot of, companies that are pretty across their kind of metrics will have seen this where we're not sure how much of that is because of our marketing efforts and kind of just natural growth anyway, versus how much of that is Corona impact. I think it's a lot of people find it's kind of throwing all the metrics out the window and so you're trying to work out what the new base rate is. Suffice to say, we are growing pretty quickly. However, we were before. But I do think it's going to have some impact. We've seen the videos being created on the platform. They doubled from February to March, and then they've jumped up another, I think, 70% another month later. So usage has gone up through the roof. I think there's a few things here. I think people are needing to connect with customers that they would otherwise potentially have met in person. I think one thing a lot of companies can do right now, because obviously a lot of people are kind of in limbo. Obviously one thing they can do is spend some time with customers, you know, spend some time with existing customers, remind customers why they're with them. And obviously a lot of those are using video for that, alternative video for that. So, look, it's a good thing for video. I think it's going to drive that adoption curve forward by, honestly, a couple of years. Likewise, I think it's going to drive remote working, that adoption curve, forwards by 5 years as well. Video is becoming a thing. People are getting more comfortable. Video calling is getting bigger. People are adapting, and the way we communicate has had to change quicker.
Yes, absolutely. And I think video is also an opportunity for you to show empathy directly, so the people see what you're feeling. As you said initially, we cannot fake it. So I think that goes a long way. And we are towards the end of the show for today's discussion. And we've kind of covered quite a lot of ground on how you can use video in different parts of your marketing, customer success, adoption, and different parts of growth. So if I'm sure that a lot of people listening to us today would definitely love to connect with you and discuss with you further if they have questions. So what is the best place where people can find you?
Yeah, so a couple of things. If you want to try out Bonjouro or see how it works, it's completely free to sign up. So, and there's a free package forever. So hop into bonjouro.com. If you do sign up, you will get a video welcome from one of my team. I still do quite a few every day. So you'll get to experience firsthand what it feels like to receive a video, which hopefully should fulfill some of the loop. If you want to reach out to me in person, please do. Head to LinkedIn and search for Papa Bear, P-A-P-A-B-E-A-R. I think there's three people on LinkedIn with that title, and I'm the guy in the bear suit. So if you want to reach out, more than happy to help. I had a lot of help getting where I am. So yeah, please do connect.
Absolutely. And I can tell to our users that I've tried the product myself, and I've had a good chat with the team members. So it's been a pretty good team and very helpful. And I loved your product. And would you like to share any parting message with our audience?
Yeah, so we have an ethos that we live by at the company, which I think is great. And it's automate processes, but never relationships. And so I think, automation is super important. Like, do it, but do it with the things that don't require a human, so that you can spend more time with customers as a human.
Thank you so much for joining us, Matt. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of takeaways from this conversation. And we will stay connected. And thanks once again for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks, Yag. Thanks, Manish. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking out the time to do this, Matt. Good day.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.